Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. It's so good to have you here with us. We are coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, where we're enjoying another day of God's goodness and grace, and looking forward to this Christmas season where, you know what, we get to remember God came near in the person of Jesus Christ, and what a great celebration it is to remember that in the midst of our mess, in the midst of our rebellion and our sin and even our addiction, God looked down upon us and had mercy and showed grace to us when he gave us his very own son. And so I hope that that's what you can remember and that what you can celebrate and that will bring you joy this Christmas season. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, and I'm sitting here with my friend Steven Cervantes. Hey, Steven.
Hey, Jonathan.
And we are going to continue in our series, our three-part series about attachment. And last week, just to give you a little bit of a recap, we talked really specifically about the avoider and the avoider style of detachment. And so this week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the four different styles of attachment. And so, Stephen, why don't you just kind of kick us off and tell us where you want to go this week?
If you heard the last show, then you know I'm really excited about this material. It comes from the American Association of Christian Counselors, their attachment series. And it was Dr. Clinton and Dr. Sibsey that were presenting material. And I'm just going off some talking points, but it clarified in my mind a piece of information that every man has to go through and evaluate and determine if they're in the secure attaching style, they're using that secure attaching style, or if they're using an avoiding style. And so there's actually four styles: the secure attacher, the avoider, the clinger, or a combination of avoiding and clinging style. So just the overview, the secure attacher is somebody that bonds well. The avoider runs. The clinger is like a leech that comes after you and comes after you. And then the fourth style is a combination of avoiding and clinging. They run to you, then they run away from you. And they love the security of being loved, and then they get freaked out and run away and avoid you and don't want to do that because they get scared. They get strong on their own, and then they get lonely and they run back. So there are four styles. And remember, everyone fits into one of these four categories. Yeah, we all avoid sometimes and we cling sometimes, but that's not our primary style. And what we hope is that everyone listening falls into this secure attaching style. That's where you have a healthy view of yourself and a healthy view of others. I like me, and I know I'm going to like you. I have value, and I can help you. You have value, and you can help me. There's just a sense that they are able to receive and give love. I'm capable of that, and you are too. And I'm okay with myself, and I'm okay with you.
Yeah, and hopefully that is that's kind of the goal, so to speak, of attachment, is getting to a place where you can look in the mirror and say, I'm okay, and then look at somebody else and say, you're okay. Even with, all of the natural warts, so to speak, that are part of our lives, all of our imperfections, the secure attachment style isn't saying I'm okay with me because I'm perfect. And it's not saying I'm okay with you because you're perfect. It's just saying I'm not going to let those imperfections either produce shame in me or somehow see you as inferior or superior to me. And so it's just kind of, it's more of maybe an accepting sort of style, and saying we're gonna go with life, and I'm not going to make all of these things be dividers I'm just going to be able to unify even when.
And we're talking about emotions, right? What you just said, emotions will not divide us. I'm okay with my emotions, and I'm okay with your emotions. And they feel a range of emotions. And they can regulate their own emotions so they don't overwhelm themselves inside their own emotions. And they don't get overwhelmed by your emotions. And they are not threatened by emotions.
And they don't. They also, you know, when I think about that, a lot of these other styles that we're going to look at, emotions become a weapon. Or they become a a noose. And so, but with the secure style, their emotions are just what they are.
Or a dam. A dam that's breaking.
Yeah.
A dialogue with you is like a dam. I'm about to be swept off to sea. And go and finish your point.
Well, I was going to say, in the secure style, that person sees emotion just for what they are. They're feelings. And feelings come and feelings go. And every range of emotion in that spectrum are totally legitimate emotions, whether it's what we might consider more of the positive emotions like joy and happiness, or more of the negative emotions such as sadness or anger. The secure style says those are all valid emotions.
Yes, and they share their feelings and they share their dreams. They're comfortable with some level of closeness that occurs after the sharing. And here's a key part of somebody that's a secure attacher. Under stress, people that are secure move towards you. They know you're under stress or duress, and so they don't run away from you. They know you're hurting. They know emotions are not going to kill you or kill me. And the goal is to calm one another and to soothe one. Life is full of difficulties and tragedies and pain. And when you're there, I want to come sit next to you in all your emotions and bring myself and use myself to calm and soothe you.
Now, Stephen, what percentage of our listeners, or what percentage of the guys in this room, do you think fully and totally and consistently embrace the secure style of attachment?
Well, let me answer that this way. We're all on the growing up model.
Absolutely.
And so I don't know. I know that... lots of times as men, we're not as comfortable with our own emotions, and we don't understand them. We get confused. We get angry. We misinterpret what she says, and then we respond back. I don't know that. But what I hope is every listener's on that path. And I think that part of our journey growing spiritually, as spiritual beings as well as physical, emotional beings, is that we are loosening some of our grip on some of the garbage that we picked up and getting healthier.
And I think it's also to look at that secure style as a goal. You know, even those who we might categorize, so to speak, in that secure style, there's room for growth in that. There's room for becoming a better manager of your emotions. There's room for becoming even better at soothing one another in your relationship. So there's growth, certainly in the next three styles that we look at. We really would want to grow out of those.
Yes.
But even within the secure style, there's room for vast improvement. You can't ever get to the quote-unquote perfect style of attachment. There's always going to be room for growth, even in that secure style of attachment.
So let's go to the second style. It's the avoiding style, or the avoider. They distance themselves from feelings. They shut down feelings, or they minimize all kinds of emotions. These are the folks that believe, I better take care of me because you will never take care of me. I don't find you comforting in any way, so just stay over there. I'm doing just fine myself. Relationships really don't calm and soothe me. Most of my relationships have been painful and disappointing. I gave up on relationships. I am an avoider, and I medicate myself through things and activities, thinking, creating in my mind, wondering, speculating, fantasizing. I like to do things and I like to think, but people are so confusing to me. I'm an avoider. And instead of doing the God thing, I'm looking for substitutions for this God healthy thing I'm supposed to be doing of oneness and bonding. So I pick up idols and substitutions and addictions and some false things along the way to supplement my life. And your feelings overwhelm me, and my feelings overwhelm me.
You know, and I confessed on the last program that this has been the style that I have that I've just struggled with all of my life, is the avoider style. And you know, the whole idea of the avoider style, not sharing emotions, or minimizing emotions. I'll give you an example of how that has worked throughout the years of my life. I'm totally convinced that that God is sovereign, but He also has a sense of humor sometimes in who He joins us together with in marriage. My wife and I are as opposite as people could be, and so me being the avoider, and my wife is this person who just loves to attach, just loves to
bond and join and touch.
Wants to share feelings. And so one of the statements that she makes to me regularly that often just hits me right at this avoider style in me is she'll come up to me and she'll say, "Jonathan, how is your heart?" And I can feel the hair on the back of my neck start to stand up, and all these walls of defense want to come up, because I think that is absolutely the most paralyzing, panic-stricken question she could ask me.
But you know what? Because
it nails me right on this avoider style, because she goes literally right to the heart of the issue by asking me to basically share my emotions. And so the good news out of that story is that God uses her to draw me out and say, "Jonathan, you struggle with this avoider style and you need to work on that." So I guess we're not to solution yet, but I do want to tell you this. If you're an avoider and you have a person in your life that consistently just presses on that makes you want to run, be thankful for that person.
Because that's
a person God is using to address the issue of the avoider style in you.
That is great. That's a great story. I have to tell another story here. This lady came in for counseling once, and she said, "For 20 years, I've been trying to get my husband to talk to me. We have been to 8 different counselors. Mm. We've spoken to 6 different pastors, and we've been to 5 retreats. And now I think I want to leave. I'm tired of being so alone, and I can't do any more." Man, doesn't that just make you hurt?
Wow.
Somebody's trying so hard to invite someone into relationship, and someone is trying so hard to not enter into relationship. So that's one story. Here's a second story of an avoider. My husband and I had a big fight, and I felt overwhelmed. I just had to tell him things weren't going well. I was frustrated with the parenting and the money and just what was going on in the evening. I just threw up a lot of pain that I had inside me. My husband listened. He didn't say much, but he went and washed my car. Now, why are you smiling, Jonathan?
That is the typical avoider right there.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Well, it's almost like a, you know, he's wanting to like maybe make up, or he's wanting to do something, but he can't do it relationally. He's got to do it some other way.
So, man, I bet he spent 3 or 4 hours vacuuming that car. She's upset. So I'm going to go to, I won't go to her, but I'm going to go touch her car and clean her car. And I'm going to vacuum. I'm going to clean up all the dirt in the car's life. And I'm going to take such loving care of that car.
Yeah.
I mean, because he does things and activities, right? He doesn't do dialogue and emotions.
Yeah.
That's an avoider. Now, I know there are some people out there. Now, before we started this show, I said, "Jonathan, we got to develop some skills to train men." And Jonathan says, "Well, I don't know. Let me think about it." So I need some listeners out there. If you think men need training, I want you to write Jonathan an email and say, "I'm on Stephen's side. Do All a right. better job of training these guys." That's just a little plug I'm throwing
Let's
in.
Let's go to the next one, because I'm going to totally avoid that that question good. There. Listeners, before we get to the next attachment style, I just wanted to pause and share a couple of comments that we've gotten from our listeners and from people who've been involved in our ministry throughout this past year. You know, we had a couple that wrote in to us, and they said, "We would like to thank you for your special ministry. Your insight has helped our marriage tremendously. If Be Broken and Gateway to Freedom didn't exist, we may not have been able to address personal conflicts so well. We appreciate your willingness to help men with their sexual struggles." And somebody else had written in and said, "I just wanted to drop you a note of thanks. I'm so thankful for men like you and Stephen that are willing to not be safe and will share with others your own struggles." You know, these comments, and we have a whole book here in our office that's full of these comments. And I just wanted to share a few of those with you just to illustrate the impact that Be Broken Ministries and this Pure Sex Radio program is having on lives. And as we approach this year end, we just want to ask that if God is moving you to give a generous year-end gift, that you would follow that prompting and that you would do that so that more lives like these might be changed, that more marriages might be healed and restored through our workshops or through some of our other groups and programs that we have. We're going to give you our contact information at the end of this broadcast, but we would just invite you to prayerfully consider giving a donation to Be Broken Ministries at the end of this year. Thank you.
So, okay, let's go to the clinger. So we have the avoider. Now we're talking about the clinger. They have a negative view of themselves, but they think you're great. Mm-hmm. They don't think they're anything. They're not worth much. They're unlovable. But your opinion really matters. And I can't take very good care of me. But if you say I'm good, I'm good. If you love me, I'm not worthy of love. But if you bestow that on me, then I'm going to be okay. And I'll do anything I need to get loved. And, you know, an example would be you see some women that become like doormats in a relationship. Mm-hmm. He walks on her. He talks down to her. He demeans her. And she's just hanging on. Don't leave me. Please. No, I'll change. And do whatever I have to do.
And you know, I see this clinger style. The primary difference I see between the avoider and the clinger is that the avoider in their mind has kind of set themselves up in a superior position. So, hey, I can do life on my own. I can isolate. I'm smarter. I'm better. I'm whatever. The clinger sets themselves up in an inferior position. So the idea is, I need this other person in my life to validate me, to bring me satisfaction and pleasure and joy and all that. So the clinger is kind of looking to that person they're in relationship with as their everything. If that person says I'm okay, then okay, they say I'm okay, even if I don't believe it. But they look to that person for all of their validation.
Yes, and they're exhausted people,
yeah.
These clingers. But they're overwhelmed by feelings. They drown in their own feelings, and so they have to get outside themselves. They have a lot of anxiety and anxiousness and sadness. And if something goes wrong, they say, I must have caused it. Or if you're upset, you have to be mad at me. How can I make it better? Or if there's a conflict, let's solve it now. Well, I need some time out. No, don't leave me. You know, they're just clinging at every turn.
And usually these people also, there's a constant, like permanent question in their mind of whether or not you love them. You know, you can do all the acts of service you want. You can give all the words of affirmation. You can give the physical touch. But there just seems to be this nagging inability for them to actually believe and receive love. There's just always that question, and there's a lot of shame, I think, in the clinger, because they've just beaten themselves down so much to think there's no possible way that I could have the permanent love of this spouse or this other person.
Okay, and so they move towards you. They don't trust love. They're not secure in love. They need you to say and act like they're okay, because they don't believe they're lovable. And they move towards you to the point of clinging and just hanging and depending. It's too much. Mm-hmm. So we have the avoider aggressively avoiding and the clinger aggressively clinging. So then that leaves us the next position, which is an avoiding clinger. Now, let me set this up for you a minute because it makes sense when you understand how it starts. I think mother is supposed to be loving, but mother beats me with a belt regularly. Dad is supposed to love me, but dad comes in at nighttime and misuses me. My grandfather is supposed to be a source of love, but he leaves us at home at his house alone for hours, and we feel kind of abandoned and neglected there. The places that are supposed to be love are also the places of great pain. And so you can understand why they want to avoid and why they want to cling, because loving places, mothers, were also painful beings. And so most of these people have some trauma in their past. They experience physical or sexual or emotional abuse. But mother is supposed to conjure up love. And father is grandmother, grandfather, uncle is supposed to conjure up love. But it also conjures up pain. So they avoid and they cling.
And I think this is probably the most a confusing and frustrating style for those who are in it, is because there's such a confusing dichotomy between what should be good but is actually proven in their experience to be bad. And so there's just this,
and it's confusion in their mind.
Yeah.
There's restlessness in their mind. Yes.
And it kind of ping-pongs them back and forth, because they want what society and maybe even certain people in their lives have told them should be good. They want what even God says should be good. And so they want to move toward that, but in their experience, they've had trauma or abuse in that area. And so then they bounce back to the avoider. And so they see something that looks good and they cling to it. But you know what? They can't really trust that what this can't actually be good, because my experience has told me that there isn't such a thing as a loving marital relationship.
Don't trust it. Don't
yeah,
trust
and
it.
So
don't let down.
They just bounce back and forth between this avoider and clinger.
So there was a book written not too long ago. It says, "I hate you. Don't leave me."
Mm-hmm.
You know, get away from me. Where are you going?
Right.
You know, they do both of those kind of things. And so they have this avoiding style where they seem cool and distant, and then they come back in and they're very loving and they want a close, intimate relationship, but in their mind they can't trust, and so they back up. And so they do, as Jonathan said, cling and avoid and cling and avoid.
And so it creates kind of a really disorganized set of thinking. I mean, it's almost like there's no clear-cut paths of thinking in their mind. And we're not saying this to, you know, shame anybody out there that says that's me, but that just kind of shows why sometimes you'll go down one track of thinking and then immediately switch to another, because wait a second, as you go down this one track of thinking, you look ahead and you say, well, my past tells me what's going to be down there, so I need to jump over here. And so it's a very mumbled, and that creates a lot of confusion in the people in relationship with these individuals, because literally 1 minute they can be saying, I absolutely love you and I want to spend the rest of my life with you, and the very next minute are saying, no, I can't commit, I cannot get into this relationship. And so it's just bouncing all over the place, and it's very exhausting for those who are in relationship with a clinger.
Yes.
Avoider,
because little things can cause a ton of emotions to flood out, and they have been confused. And they really haven't been trained and shaped in a loving sort of way to manage their own feelings. And so they approach you, then they avoid you. They say, help me, and then they reject you. Or they say, help, 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 and then they reject, reject, reject. Then they complain, complain, complain. Then they say, help, help, help. It's just too much. They're disorganized in their head because they want to not hurt by getting close, but they get tired of being distant, and they struggle to open up. There's too much confusion, and they can't figure out how to make their life work. Now, Go ahead. I was going to just say that there's some researchers that came up with a lot of this material, Mary Ainsworth and John Bowlby and Mary Main. They're building models of marriage now on how do you deal successfully in marriage given everyone has one of these four styles, and under stress and duress, you will see it.
So obviously the avoider, the clinger, and then the combination of the avoider clinger are styles that are detrimental to our relationships. And so to kind of close out this broadcast, we want to come back and reiterate the goal of developing a secure attachment style.
Yes.
The good news is though, even though everyone is going to fit in somewhere into one of these styles or into a combination of these styles, one thing that you can know for sure is that you're not locked in to that style. I've mentioned before in the last broadcast and this broadcast, my default style for many, many years has been avoider. But you know what? I'm growing. I can say now that, yeah, you know what? I still have a lot of lingering effects of the avoider style, but I'm becoming better at sharing my emotions. I'm becoming better at liking myself and being fine with those around me and moving into that. So we're all in a state of growth. The issue is don't allow yourself to get locked in to one of these negative styles. Move toward and make it a goal to move toward the secure style.
Yes, and that because that's what God is. He's about oneness, right? He's about love, not about you can't have love move away or get lost and confused and be a child just clinging. No, he's about oneness and about building us up from the inside and about soothing and calming emotions. And, you know, that I love the term Father, Abba Father. And so we're trying to make our marriages and our close relationships, if you're single, and the relationships of people significant in our life, safe, comforting, and one.
We're glad you've been with us here on this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. If you're struggling with some of these negative styles, please give us a call, and we'd like to help you know how you can start getting help for moving towards that secure style of attachment. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you back here again next week.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Live the golden rule. Jesus said, "In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." How might your life change if you develop more consistency in treating others the way you want to be treated? What if you initiated kindness, humility, peacemaking, love, and truth-telling? And what if you did all this with pure motives, not in a self-seeking manner? I would venture to say that whatever is frustrating you most in your life right now would begin to look different. For your attitude would shift from what you think you deserve to what you are privileged to give.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to more Purity Pointers at puresexradio.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries.